And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to MBM Wrestling. I'm Michael Lindenbaum. With me, as always, is Ben Taylor and Mansa Herndon. Boys, we are live at Intervention.
Sup, fools?
Yeah, what's up? What's up?
And of course, we are live at Intervention, which means special guest, the man of AwesomeCon, Ben Penrod.
How's it going?
So we are the actual Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Yes.
That didn't bomb.
I guess we should make Michael Sue Storm then.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So for once, it's not MBM, it's MBBM. Is that what we're doing here? And with two Bens in the middle this time.
We got ourselves a Ben sandwich.
Do you want to be Big Spoon or Little Spoon?
Little Spoon. <stuff.
laughs> All right. So...
this is why I'm staying at a hotel like 5 miles down the road.
All right, so let's...
that's okay. My friend Dix and I, we're like an hour away.
So go ahead. Let's Ben, why don't you give us a bit of your history on with you and wrestling?
Oh, so yeah, I've been into wrestling, I don't know, probably since I was 15 or 16. Started watching during the Attitude Era, and that was right when it was kind of getting big on the internet, and... just like a huge wrestling internet nerd for like almost 20 years, I guess. Yeah.
So, who is your favorite wrestler of all time?
Mick Foley.
Foley is good.
Nice.
And then Jericho and Christian, close second and third.
Okay. You and I have very similar tastes. But Foley actually places like, probably places third for me. Mm-hmm. But Flair is number one for me. Like, I don't know. I can't help it.
I met Ric Flair in at WrestleMania.
Shut up, Ben.
Right. In the hallway of the hotel.
Why don't you just mention all the people that you met at WrestleMania?
It was the greatest.
Why don't you go ahead and tell that
Here's
story
what happened.
How like you scheduled like Seth Rollins' panel deliberately opposite one that I was doing so I couldn't...
Oh, no! I didn't deliberately... No, WWE gave me the schedules for them. Like, I didn't get to schedule that. They're like, okay, they'll be there at... I don't know, would they show up at 4 o'clock? So they'll show up at 4 o'clock, they'll sign autographs for 90 minutes, and they'll do photo ops, or they did photo ops first. And then they'll go do a 30-minute Q&A, and then they leave. And they were there for 3 hours.
I have never seen anyone flood their timeline on Facebook with more pictures in a concise amount of time as you stood next to Seth Rollins.
I was trying to like play it cool, but I was also trying to just like hang out with him the whole time. Said this, you know.
hey, well, you got the WWE champion there.
Well, that's the thing is, I was saying, you and I have known each other for a while, and we talk a lot on wrestling online. And I would message Ben right before every time Seth defended the belt, going, "How nervous are you right now?"
I was nervous that that last pay per view before the con, I was nervous, but I didn't think
Fatal Four Way.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, oh. But it worked out. It was good.
That was awesome.
But because this was something that Ben and I had talked about, any chance that maybe the next time we get WWE wrestlers at AwesomeCon, could it be a full day?
No, they just don't do it like that. WWE manages their guest appearances differently than other people. Like they have a system where they do it for 3 hours, and that's the way it works.
Because we
ran into
right.
Paige at Wizard World.
She's only there for 3 hours.
No, she came in the night before and was there
the entire
time. I'm not calling, so, I'm just saying, like, the...
Which Wizard World was it?
Richmond. This was Richmond.
This was the one that just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like this for all of them, because, like, when CM Punk was like, in WWE, we literally did Chicago
ran,
all day.
We literally ran into her in the bar the night before.
Well, they came in, so for, like, Seth Rollins and Natalya, they came in the night before.
Oh, okay.
And they may have came in that day and stayed overnight to the next night, but it depends on when they're scheduled. Like when we canceled the show, but when we had the show in Milwaukee,
they were literally going off to do money in was it Elimination Chamber?
No, yeah, Elimination Chamber was a few days after that.
And okay. He does have a point because Paige left pretty early.
Yeah, yeah, she might have come in the night
like right
before.
After her Q&A panel,
which day were they in? Which day was she at the
Saturday?
So if they're on Saturday. She'll be there in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's because when we booked Cesaro for our show in Milwaukee that we ended up canceling.
Talk about how much of a badass he's... We'll have to talk about that later.
Yeah, well, you know, he was... he got shoved in the doghouse for, like, 1 minute after I announced him. but as a guest at our show. But his, so he was supposed to be there Saturday. He would have been there from noon to 3 or 11 to 2 or something like that. But, yeah, I think, you know, I've been to a bunch of Wizard shows, and it looks like, they, you know, if it's really busy, maybe they'll grab somebody for an extra hour or two. Or if they, you know, if they sold a whole lot of tickets, but having them for, you know, they're usually not there for 2 days. Like when Wizard World Philly this year, they had 4 days of show, and so one day they had Sting, one day they had Randy Orton, one day they had Paige, one day they had the Bella Twins, and that was and that was how it worked out. And they only do, you know, they really don't do the full day thing.
Like their package would be like, you can get two of them, but it'd be on one day, the day before, like a Friday.
Yeah,
and that was it for the weekend.
Yeah,
so.
But, you know, and that's just, you know, they do, they're used to doing their, like, guest appear, or their, you know, appearances differently than kind of the con, like a con setting. And they're used to, you know, like, opening up Walmarts and going to, like, car dealerships, going to car dealerships or the car shows.
John Cena at
the Auto Show. Yeah.
And actually, the interesting thing about that one was is that it was a 2 hour window where he was signing, and then an hour into it, they brought Tori Wilson in, which I was mad because I was in the front of the line and I got John Cena right off the bat, but then I had to pay a guy $10 to get me a Tori Wilson autograph on the thing I brought. So I was like,
oh man.
But it was weird because it was two hour slots.
Yeah.
So the first hour it would be just Cena, then the second hour would be Tori and Cena together, and then the second hour, or the third hour would be just Tori Wilson.
Yeah.
And I was like, man.
That's kind of...
Billy Kidman wasn't lurking around anywhere.
That's kind of how it was
at... Billy Kidman
That's kind of how it was at Access at WrestleMania. Like, you'd get in line for somebody, and then, like, if they'd get up, and somebody else would get in their spot, and you'd be like, I just waited in line for an hour to, like, meet Daniel Bryan. And then, like, you come in and put, like...
did you give him fitness
You know,
tips?
Somebody else. You know, I don't know. I don't want to say anybody. But, like... I can't think of it. Like they put Kofi there, and you're like, shit, I wasn't waiting for Kofi.
Yeah. I definitely want to go to a WrestleMania. That, like, what was the WrestleMania experience like for you going to be at WrestleMania 31?
It was awesome. So we had been to WrestleMania 24 in Orlando. We did that. But that was pretty cool. We didn't, it was my wife and I, and we didn't do like the whole experience. We just went to the event and left. And that was pretty cool, but it wasn't really a very memorable WrestleMania. They had the Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels match, and that was pretty much it. But WrestleMania 31, my friend Elliot and I went out, and like, we just did the whole week. You know, like Thursday or Friday was the NXT thing. They had like 5,000 people at the NXT show. It was so cool, man.
We're gonna get to that. Yeah. Dude. Like,
it was so cool. And then we went to the Access. And then we went to the Hall of Fame. And then we did WrestleMania.
Experience.
And then we went to Raw the next night after WrestleMania too. See, so we did every we're out there. We already spent all the money to be out there. We might as well just do this, right? We might as well add this other thing.
Okay. What's it like being in a Raw after WrestleMania crowd? What's it like being in that crowd?
It's weird, man. It's like the it's nobody from San Jose was there. It was just all people who had been at... It was all, like, really huge fans. It's just, you know, but it's only 18,000 of them. It's not, like, 80,000. And...
But you are a frequent attendee of NXT tapings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But
it was like the NXT crowd.
That's what I'm saying. Is it just like the NXT crowd to the nth degree?
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly that.
Wow.
And so that's why you get, like, the wave... And, like, it starts to reach a point where, like, they're kind of, like, marking out over themselves. Yeah. And they're, like, chanting, like, we are awesome. And you're, like, okay, that might be...
They did it that one time. That doesn't mean you should be doing it.
Yeah. Right. But it, you know...
Especially if you were ever chanting for Michael Cole.
I didn't mind trolling that main event. Because it was, like, I was mad. I was, like, okay... They said we were going to get the Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins match, and I didn't expect that to have a clean finish or anything, but, like, they set it up, they rang the bell, and then he just walks out of the ring, and then they're like, oh, but, okay, well, instead of that, we'll give you, like, a four-way match with Roman Reigns and Randy Orton and Seth Rollins and somebody else, and Dean Ambrose, and, like, you know, it's okay, whatever. No, it wasn't Dean Ambrose.
No, at the time, I think the week after they made the triple threat and then like
I'm saying on the main event for that Raw after WrestleMania.
That was dark though, wasn't it?
What?
That was a dark main event because
because
it went off the air with like Seth walking off, didn't it?
Right.
No, no, he did that in the beginning of the show.
Yeah, when they did the Lesnar Rollins match, that was like
Lesnar. It was in the first hour. Lesnar got thrown out of the building in the first hour.
Because he had
Byron Saxton.
Michael Cole's shoe is in the ring.
And Byron Saxton stood there awkwardly for an hour on his own.
They just left him to die, and they didn't put any
Corey Graves was in the building,
and Corey Graves, they got mad at Byron Saxton because he did bad, and I'm like, you didn't give him a chair, he had to stand, like he's ever done that, he had to stand and hold a microphone and call the match.
To you, but if they've dumped if he dumped the table on Booker T, and Booker T isn't there anymore. They clearly moved the table. Why can't they just put it up?
Yeah.
Like just.
We know those tables aren't that heavy. They moved. They just.
The greatest thing is. It's like.
Byron Saxton can move it on his own.
I love. But actually, the great thing about that was the taking out of that announce team, though. For watching on Raw, taking out JBL and Booker T.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay.
That was the greatest thing. And yeah.
Those three were, like, the worst announced team of all time.
And you want to know something? They've gotten better since Booker T had to leave to do Tough Enough. They've gotten
Leave.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote.
They've gotten better with Byron Saxton as the
third. What they need to do is get rid of JBL and put Corey Graves
Because
Corey Graves is the best heel announcer of the WWE in years.
Well, actually, honestly, in my opinion, just do Michael Cole and Byron Saxton alone, because when they did Beast in the East,
On a regular TV, you need a heel announcer. Yeah. You do.
But in putting Corey Graves in that slot,
Corey Graves would be
money.
I don't know whether you caught NXT this week.
I was there.
No, but I want to talk about the commentary.
Oh no, I didn't see it yet.
the job he did with Sasha on commentary during the Bailey Becky Lynch match.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I've not seen the most recent NXT. Right. Things have been going crazy in my life.
He did such a good job.
You know,
the heel announcer there.
Yeah, I was. So now I remember when that happened, and like she came out, like Sasha came out, and I was like, oh, I gotta watch this. I can't wait to see, because obviously I couldn't hear what she was saying. Right. But it was a good match.
Oh, yeah. But his commentary on there
didn't come across that well on TV.
Oh. It was fantastic.
The Becky Lynch Bailey match didn't come across that well on TV.
Bailey had wrestled that was her fourth match she'd wrestled all night.
And you can tell.
Bailey.
Yeah, Bailey.
Yeah, she
can tell.
But she had three solid matches, but I mean, she's not.
What I'm saying is, like, you know how like when she comes in, she's full of energy.
Yeah.
Like for that match, she just walked out and stood in the ring.
Because she had done that like 20-minute match with Charlotte 45 minutes before.
I'm not saying she didn't have a reason to do it.
But that's the problem about the whole taping of it.
And we're going to get to this because it's something I want to bring up later, because I'm actually really upset with the Bailey push. Not the fact that it's happening, but the way it's being delivered. Because Bailey in the last 2 weeks has defeated the two divas that are tearing up the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte made Nikki tap out. So that makes her number one contender for the Divas title, I guess. And literally 2 days later, Bailey pins her.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. The NXT is different. Like, you gotta...
Yeah.
The people who are in NXT have to beat the people who have left NXT, because they've gotta pass the torch, and they've got, like, they gotta get that belt off of Sasha. Because she does not have to go back. Her and Paige are easily the best two diva wrestlers in WWE, you know, NXT or on WWE.
I still think Charlotte's up there with
them. Oh, and Charlotte, but Sasha's amazing.
All right, so what we usually do on these shows is go over Raw. Have you seen Raw for this week, Ben?
Yes, I actually just caught up on Hulu. I saw the second half of it live after the Triple Threat, and then I watched up to the Triple Threat on Hulu. So I may have missed something, but I don't think I missed too much.
All right, so we start with the opening interview, which I have gone on record as saying, God damn, will you open with a match just once, please?
They won't. It was a solid open. Yeah. It was a solid open for what it was.
That being said, It was one of the most entertaining opening promos we've had in a while, especially when John Cena joined us via Titantron. Mm-hmm. And it was just Seth's mouth. Spoiler, I win. And those of you that follow either our Twitter or my personal Facebook, you know my feeling about the Straight Outta Compton memes that have been going around. Yeah. And when we had the "you're not straight out of Compton, you're straight out of action," yes, I was just like face palming. But there was then this weird thing with Kevin Owens and Cesaro showing up, and then Randy Orton needed to get involved for some reason. And I was just like, why did we need Randy Orton in here?
Well, the
and they've gone on to explain why. Mm-hmm. Because what they want to do is just in case Cena isn't fit for
SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Randy Orton finally got his rematch.
Yeah.
Wait, he hadn't had his rematch yet, had he?
No.
That was it. He got it. Yeah. He's good. It's only been eight months or something.
Yeah. So now that moves on to Team Bella versus Team Bad. And we all know my feelings on Team Bad. Never, ever, ever, ever call one of your teams bad.
Yeah.
Because when your announcer is saying, "this is Team Bad," the layman is going to go, "well, they're not very good."
Right. That does seem very un-Vince McMahon. Like, that's something that Vince would think of and be like, "no, we can't do that."
Them Team Suck.
Yeah.
Or like Team Porn Star Site.
PMS, yeah, man. Pretty Mean Sisters.
And then there's this announcement of some elimination match at SummerSlam now with all three teams.
Yeah. And they didn't even explain the rules. So apparently all three teams are going to be involved.
Yep.
All nine divas.
Yep.
They haven't made up the rules yet. That's what's happened.
It's like that.
What's going to happen is they're going to wrestle and wrestle and wrestle until the fourth faction tears up and destroys all nine of them.
No. Remember last year's WrestleMania when AJ Lee had the Defender title?
It's 19 people.
Yeah. And it was like, what's the rules? Nobody knew the rules until the day of the freaking match, you know?
They don't need rules.
You don't need the rules.
They don't need rules until 1 second before the match starts, and maybe not even then.
Right, man. That's
what do you...
Just ask the participants in the stairs match. the anatomy of the stairs.
Now, Ben brought up the fourth faction.
Yeah.
Ben has... For your fourth faction.
My fourth faction ideally would be Natalia, Emma, and Blue Pants.
And Blue Pants.
Because Blue Pants.
Blue Pants.
Now, that being said, I would also have loved the... Even though we found out this isn't true, if they aren't going to involve Blue Pants there, they would probably use Dana Brooke because she's already Emma's tag team partner. And I would love them to have put Blue Pants with the Board Villains because she would have had so much fun with that.
And it sounds like it's going to be one of the other new recruits that's going on.
But we've just found... Ben just showed... What did you show me on your phone?
Blue Pants merch on WWE Shop.
Blue Pants merch.
Really?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are buying our Blue Pants merch.
But, you know...
But I would like to point out, they're not pants.
They're tights.
It's a t-shirt.
What? Oh.
It's a t-shirt blue pants.
It's a Blue Pants t-shirt with a picture of pants on them.
They should be selling
Blue Pants,
they should be selling pants.
So I was just talking to Blue Pants like on Saturday.
You guys hear that?
That's like,
the name
I was
dropping.
We were just hanging out, you know, at this is called Orlando Geek Fest, and like she didn't mention anything. Like I don't think she's not full time with WWE,
no.
And there's no way
they need to snap her up.
I feel like they should, but they haven't. And she's talking about
a logical challenger to Bayley at this point.
She is,
and she's a good wrestler.
Like, because the only other two named divas that we've really got right now in NXT, we've got Emma and Dana Brooke.
Yep. Yeah.
Then we've got Alexa Bliss and Iggy Azalea.
Which she may be coming out to the main roster with Enzo and Cass.
But
anyways.
Apparently she had a match at the tapings last night.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I know.
It does, because Charlotte and Cass have been coming out with her as their manager.
Charlotte and Becky.
Well, Charlotte's been getting like "thank you, Charlotte" chants at every match she's had for like the last three tapings because nobody expects her to come back, and she always comes back.
No,
I don't think she's coming back anymore. But
well, they just did their tapings yesterday. I haven't seen.
I didn't.
Let's stick to rule for now, and we'll get to NXT when we get to NXT. Then we had. We had New Day versus The Bull Fighters.
So that one got cut off of Hulu Raw, apparently. Because I don't know about that one.
That was a fun one because you actually had the primetime players in the back.
Yeah, making notes.
Darren Young's wearing glasses with a clipboard and writing notes and stuff. He's like, dude, this is so... It was like, I wish they're on commentary, but that's so awesome still.
Yeah,
they've
had them on commentary the last two weeks. Times.
But it's such gold.
Yeah, but you don't... Like, if you're a starving man, right, and I walk up and I give you a saltine, you're going to think it's a Ritz. And eventually, you're going to work out the saltines.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to keep that down to a minimum.
But still, this what they did with them, though, on Monday Night Raw, just seeing Darren Young with the glasses and the clipboard right now, and then Titus O'Neil kind of lean over and go, yeah, that's good. And then they're just writing down the notes. It was just hilarious. It's definitely...
I would point out that during this match, Xavier Woods was taken out by El Torito.
In the most pathetic way.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Okay, so El Torito is trying to do a Hurricane Rana on Xavier, and Xavier catches him. And then he's lifting him up to do a powerbomb, and then one of the matadors come in and pushes him, and then that's when he whips Xavier into the Hurricane Rana, and he kind of oversells it into the barrier.
Yeah. How can you not oversell it
right
at that point? Any selling is overselling at that
especially
point.
Especially when it comes to El Torito.
Exactly.
They just need to kill that gimmick and put him back to Primo and Epico, honestly.
Yeah, dude.
I think those dudes... I'm surprised those dudes haven't been cut, like...
Well, no, I don't think they should be cut.
They're the
enhancement
talent of the tag division, thank you very much.
But they already have... They have tons of enhancement talent in the tag division.
They're pushing.
Because Kalisto is amazing, dude. He's like the next Rey Mysterio. They're setting the dominoes up to make him the next Rey Mysterio.
I'm sorry, I've never really been that sold on Kalisto, especially
well,
after that.
You're not the biggest fan of Lucha in general.
No, I like Lucha. It's just that, especially after that tag match at that takeover event with Blake and Murphy, when Blake and Murphy defend the tag title,
you're just butthurt because they took the titles off the Ascension.
Yes,
that's
what
it is.
Let's be honest.
Actually, yes,
I'm Ascension proud, man.
From there, we had the triple threat match, which. Again, I wasn't crazy about because it just felt like Randy Orton was randomly shoved in there. Mm-hmm. Now I get why they did it. Like after the fact, it just felt a bit like, well, we better have someone that we can trust in there. I'm like, have you not been watching your own programming?
Well, he just for the last like I don't know, maybe 5 minutes of the match, Randy was just outside of the ring, and Cesaro and Kevin just had a match, and it was great.
Which is why they have just announced they are adding Cesaro, Kevin Owens to SummerSlam.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were setting that up. They've been setting that up for a little while, but yeah.
They've been building up to that.
The interesting thing is that, you know, we've been reading this. Apparently, and there is a new report coming out on Kevin Owens that apparently some of the locker room is trying to help him rise up the ladder, whereas others are going, well, I tried, and he's just hard to work with. Which comes down to that regime thing that we talked about. Is it the Vince regime that doesn't see Kevin Owens as a main event guy, or is it Triple H's? And it obviously isn't Triple H's regime that says he's not a main eventer, he's not the future.
I don't know, dude.
Because we all seen the picture of
Well, he's over and he's selling lots of t-shirts. Like, that's enough for Vince, usually.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in
business money. Well, the thing that I read was that it'll look at what type of shape he's in. He's not your traditional shape.
Can we get everybody to start emailing Vince pictures of Mick Foley?
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, that's part of Kevin's gimmick, though. I mean, he hasn't always been that big.
And what he can
he's
do...
He's actually smaller than when he was Kevin Steen. He's actually lost a little bit of that weight. But still, he's a big guy.
And if your excuse is that he's not very good, how do you explain Samoa Joe? Yeah. He's about that same size.
Yeah, he is.
And seriously, look at what Kevin Owens, at the type of body that he has, and look at what he can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like what you just said, Samoa Joe, look what he can do with his body type.
A sleeper hold.
I mean, that all the other stuff.
That's his finisher now. It's not a choke anymore. It's a sleeper.
The
sleeper hold.
Last week, man. Last week.
So
we all cry about last week and not ending in a sleeper.
Yeah, I don't know about the whole. I was kind of eye rolly at this situation because, like, the moment they announced Randy Orton was going to be Bolo, he's winning.
Yeah.
Then we had the Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns backstage section, which was which was interesting because they talked about the relationship between them, and that was
they dug deeper into their bromance.
Into the bromance.
That's interesting.
And actually, I liked how they're taking shots at the whole Wyatt family concept too, because it's like, well, you guys just really serve Bray Wyatt. Bray doesn't really serve you.
Yeah,
right.
Where we got each other's backs.
Yeah.
Which is why the Wyatt family have been winning every match in this feud.
You need a strong leader, man.
Yeah, it's true.
he's got good leadership qualities.
So after Luke Harper wins the match with Dean Ambrose, we get onto what might be the most talked about section of the show amongst the internet wrestling community, which is Daniel Bryan being on the TV. I didn't care. Did anybody else care?
What did he do? He might have been edited.
Okay,
he basically came out and was like, I'm Daniel Bryan, woo, go me. Okay. No matter what, he would never miss an episode of Raw in his hometown.
Oh, no, I did see that. I saw that. Yeah. And then they, okay, yeah.
I just want to say this. 2 weeks ago, Miz TV was a really good Miz TV.
Really good.
With the Piper shirt?
Last week's Miz TV was hands down the best.
The one with Cesaro and Kevin Owens?
Yeah, last week's. That was hands down the best Miz TV ever. This one? It literally went back to how it was always before those the last 2 weeks. And I felt really disappointed about that because the last 2 weeks of Miz TV were just so good.
Yep. And then we got into...
And then, of course, that was Gazer in a Continental title match again.
Yeah. We got... I got to punch myself in the face. I got to punch myself in the face because I was reminded who the Intercontinental Champion was.
No, I just remembered too.
Yep. I'm sorry.
Hopefully, okay, I'll throw this out there now. I know we're doing our SummerSlam predictions next week.
Yep.
Miz, I want you to win.
Please win.
Oh, you know what? I figured out what it was with Ryback, dude. Like he's the new Ultimate Warrior. Like, he's got the airbrush. He's all, like, intense. He's a terrible wrestler. And, like, he's the new Ultimate Warrior. But it's mostly just the airbrush.
Ultimate Warrior, and the he's awful a new Goldberg, he's all of those terrible wrestlers that they push, just awful.
And then we get...
Rick Root had good airbrush,
and then we get to
that.
Rusev versus Mark Henry.
Again.
Part 47. The Revengeaning.
I mean, okay, and we said this last week. Nothing against Mark Henry or Rusev.
I got plenty against them.
It's just...
It's a match we've seen a billion times.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's just give us
like they could have easily have like not had this match and just gone straight into the angle with putting Lana in the Accolade.
Yeah,
right. And can we talk about that for a minute? Like, I understand that Dolph Ziggler's on the shelf, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there is a woman getting hurt. Is nobody going to come down and help her?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, wrestling's weird, man. Like.
Right.
Sometimes you have friends and sometimes you don't. Like, and bad guys always have friends that'll come out and help them. And then, like, man, like, I just remember, like, I was thinking, like, John Cena never had any friends. Like, you'd think that guy would make a friend or two in the backstage that could, like, help him out in the past, like, you know, 12 years when he'd get jumped every night.
Right.
And then, but there was for a little while, like, post Survivor Series. Like, Team Cena had each other's backs for quite a while.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
And then,
but then that fell apart.
And then that fell apart because I don't know, Ryback.
Yeah. Actually, I was thinking that.
Then we get into Neville versus King Barrett. We have heard reports from the Superstars taping that he's going back to Bad News.
Yeah,
because he dropped the "I'm afraid I've got some bad news" at the Superstars taping.
I was saying that.
He kind of did it too on Raw.
Yeah.
Or last week, I think.
And I said that would be a really bad idea, because the last thing they need is someone who's as over as Bad News Barrett facing off against Stephen Amell. Because everyone loves that catchphrase.
Yeah.
Like, the reason they stopped him saying it in the first place is it was getting him over.
And then we came up with a possible scenario where...
I think it would be awesome if he just turned on Stardust
at SummerSlam.
Yeah, dude, he's probably a big fan of Arrow. It's a really good show. You know, he's just like, dude, I'm not fighting Stephen Amell. Like, we're friends. Everybody likes Stephen Amell.
We beg to differ on our own, but it's not Stephen Amell's fault. Let's put it that way.
But okay,
am I the only person when I look at Stephen Amell, I see a young Tom Cruise? Like facially?
No.
You don't?
I don't think so. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Not really, no.
Right. He's also like 6'4". So it's kind of hard.
Actually, the great thing I loved about the Stephen Amell thing was literally he gets shoved, and he jumps those ropes like they're nothing.
Well, the bit that got me is he gets shoved and he stops and he's like, "Well, I'm gonna take my hat off."
I'm gonna take my
hat
off.
You just have that. You have that moment of him just going, and you can literally hear him going, "Motherfucker!" Like.
That was it. Was
and
awesome.
It's just one movement where he's like leap. And he does that one jump. He does like that Brock Lesnar jump up to the.
He made it look like it was. He did it better than Brock Lesnar. And it was like that spear.
And he speared them.
Life.
It was good, man. And like
and that might be the only match at SummerSlam I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
And you know, I said it. Like I said, the Raw rating was going to be up because of
you
him.
You did. Backed you on that.
He, dude, man, he's got some fan girls, dude. He's got some
fanboys.
He's got some fans, man.
The thing I really liked about it is what Stardust did to him was the pie face, which is exactly what Bam Bam did to LT.
Yeah.
And they kind of called back a bit of that to me.
The match was like amp, but that entire segment in general was just really good.
Who was it that shared that Bleacher Report article that with this angle turning wrestling on its head?
I don't know.
Okay. So there's this Bleacher Report article where they're talking about this Stardust Stephen Amell angle turning wrestling on its head. Because usually, in this case, you would have
Cody Rhodes
playing Stardust,
the threat
right?
Yeah. Awesome wrestling threat.
Right now, he refuses to see Cody, and he thinks he is Stardust. So when he looks at Stephen Amell, he sees Green Arrow as the real person, and Stephen Amell as the gimmick.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting read.
And it's like... Yeah. It's like not even the fourth wall. It's like the fifth wall. It's like super meta. It doesn't even really make sense, but it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, does Stephen Amell wrestle in the Green Arrow outfit?
Not.
Oh no.
No, because they're not.
This is a Stephen Amell.
Because they're not on that channel anymore.
They're not on CW anymore.
that
now they do the need to, they do need that. To stop dropping the Red Arrow and Green Arrow nonsense because that was annoying.
Yeah.
They're going to keep doing it at least until sometime after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something tells me I still think Stephen Amell might wrestle in some type of green.
Oh, he's definitely going
to
wrestle.
Well, he'll do me something. It'll probably be green, yeah.
And he will probably come to the ring with the AJ Styles kind of hoodie.
Yeah.
With the no arms.
Did you see he posted a picture on Facebook of him like training in a ring today?
Yeah.
And he's like up on the up on the top rope.
Did you see the picture he posted right after Raw where it's a picture of his hand that's just got Stardust makeup on it?
Yeah.
And it literally says these aren't bruises, this is something better.
Oh wow.
It's just like do you want to do this for a living? Because you're really good
he's
at promos.
He's really good, man.
Well, no, I love how obviously we're supposed to get The Miz in this feud, but obviously with the Intercontinental title picture being back and with Ryback returning, that's why we're getting King Barrett. But the greatest thing is that, you know, Stephen Amell cut that promo at San Diego Comic-Con to promote season 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then The Miz responds going, "That's nice, I'll give you some pointers." And then, like, The only highlight of Miz TV was when Miz took the shot at Stephen Amell.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he was like, "I'll give you some pointers after I'm
but
done."
But you would have thought
the
if they were going to like drop him out of the feud, they would have been like ignore him.
Mhm.
Right. I don't know.
Well, you never know. Maybe they could lead to something to Mania.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he is such a huge fan of WWE, it would work.
Nice.
Good job, Dixon. Good job.
And that led us to our main event, which was Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton. And we had a tease on the cash-in from Sheamus.
I was hoping I just wanted them to get it over with and not win it.
Yeah. Well, because the idea now is what they're going to do is if Cena can make it back for SummerSlam, they're going to do Cena, Seth Rollins, and they're going to do Sheamus, Randy Orton.
Okay.
Possibly for the briefcase.
Yeah, they could get that briefcase off of Sheamus. That'd be pretty good. That was a bad decision.
But putting the briefcase on Randy Orton now?
It's better than Sheamus.
I would agree with that, but...
It really is.
I, don't know. I love Randy Orton. Like, I just like watching him wrestle. His storyline stuff's always horrible, but I like watching him wrestle. He's good, man.
He's great in the ring.
He's so good, man.
He's got one of the best drop kicks in the business right now.
He's always had one of the best drop kicks. That was the only thing he had at first.
Yeah.
Like, at first, I was like, man, that I hate Randy Orton, but that dude can drop kick.
What was his finisher first?
The crossbody, right? No, when he first came in WWE,
I don't know.
It was actually a crossbody off the top rope.
And they told him, so Arn Anderson was like, yeah, stop.
Yeah, like, right.
Like, no. Go use this move that was made by Johnny Ace.
Yeah.
Like, you could have a 6-year career or a 16-year career.
Right.
Let's, stop jumping off the top rope every day.
But, yeah, if they take the briefcase off Sheamus, it'll be the second time they've ever done that. The first time they took it off of Ken Kennedy and gave it the Edge.
Gave it to Undertaker.
Right.
And then, of course, the very next night at the SmackDown tape, he cashed in on Undertaker.
Yeah.
And then, but actually, you know, take it off Sheamus, but have it play Hot Potato a little bit.
I don't like that idea.
Not have them stealing it like the way they did the Intercontinental title. I mean, like...
But they've done that hot potato thing so many times.
The point of the Money in the Bank is that it's for that guy who earned it. And if you got to take it off of a guy, like, every once in a while, then you can, like, but the idea is, like, if it could just go to anybody after they win it, I don't know, man. Like, it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Like, maybe have it lose it to one other person, somebody who hasn't had the opportunity to go for the WWE title.
Yeah.
Because, honestly...
The thing that really... you're saying about putting the briefcase on Randy. I don't know, man.
It's not really any better from a storyline perspective.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd rather see it go on someone like a Neville or a...
Cesaro.
Or a Cesaro. Or even what Kevin Owens could do with carrying the briefcase around.
Oh, my God. The story that would write itself with that.
Man, that's really good. Yeah, shoot. Yeah. I didn't think of that. That's... No, yeah. I'd pay for that.
Could you imagine? I mean, yeah, we got to look into the future. Sami Zayn.
If Sammy comes back,
well, he says he's supposed to be back late 2015, early 2016.
Yeah, but we need to sort the briefcase out.
He's spending time in NXT. He's spending time in NXT before he comes into WWE. Still,
yeah, maybe. Yeah,
that's why I was saying the next time they do the Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I'm not expecting Sammy to.
But like, could you imagine what would happen with the Kevin Owens current persona if he beats Sheamus, takes the briefcase, and it's just like. Done it before, I can do it again.
He'd be the biggest thing on Raw every week, and Seth held that briefcase for a long time, man. He was coming up on the next Money in the Bank. It was only like 6 weeks later after or something like that. He held it for a long time, and he didn't totally use it as much as he could as a plot device. Mm-hmm. But like Owens, man, he could just show up. All the time. And you'd never get sick of it. How long was Sheamus and the referee both holding that briefcase for like an hour, an hour?
It's like, hey, let's hold the briefcase enough.
After about 10 seconds, I was like, I see what's happening. They really messed up too.
Right.
I'm like, okay, well, I could just turn it off at this point.
It was like, hey, ref, hold on to the briefcase, and I'll hold on to the same time. That'll give Randy enough time to get ready. Hey, look, I turn around. RKO.
Yeah.
Other news? You guys got any other news you want to chat about?
WWE is releasing a Roddy Piper commemorative magazine.
Yes.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about Roddy last year.
Last week.
last year. I don't know.
Actually, you know what? Since we got Ben on. Ben, favorite Roddy moment.
When I met him in like February? No.
I went to this
convention in New York City, and like my only goal was to meet Roddy Piper. And I met Jake the Snake too, but Roddy was awesome, and he was super nice.
Why can't I carry all these names?
He was super nice, and he was like, he asked me about my family, and like he's like, what? He's like, you got a job? Where are you working? And I'm like, yeah, I run conventions. And he's like, good, this is good. And he was super nice. My favorite Roddy moment, I like when he threw that stool at Mr. T.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. That's one of my favorite things. And he, like, He never apologized for that, ever. Like, like up to like a few weeks ago, he wasn't apologizing for that.
Right.
He was the only good thing on Legends House.
I was the only one who actually watched it, and the LARPing episode.
Yes.
Because I'm a former LARPer, and I used to do that. And it's like watching him do that and watching the love of life that he had.
He had such a good time.
Yeah. He had such an amazing time. Not only that, but the bromance with Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah.
That was really cool, too, on Legends House.
And that actually transferred over into real life.
Yeah.
And, but...
Well, a lot of that transferred over
I'm trying to think, man, other good... you know, his... I don't know, like, his angle with Bret Hart was, like, really cool, but I didn't think it was actually that good, but it was, like, it was significant in the business, because he was really trying to put Bret over really hard, and he really wanted to put Bret over.
And it just sucked to almost me that the so only way that it, he could win a singles title was that it would then go to Bret Hart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, you know, why don't we actually backtrack a little bit, too? Favorite Dusty moment?
Oh man!
Because that one hit hard too.
So, I don't have a really good, you know, like working knowledge of like NWA stuff. You know, I mean, I know like the history of Dusty and everything, but from what I've actually seen, I haven't seen a whole lot. I went through and watched every WWE pay per view up to I think I'm up to like 1999 right now,
okay.
Maybe 2000, but. But
that's a lot of hours of watching.
That's a lot. Well, I was watching about 8 or 9 hours a day because I just have it on while I was working, and so you know, like every week is like 2 years. Mm-hmm. But when Dusty came to WWF, he was so over. It was like so easy. Like he didn't have to try. He was so over, man. And like when Sweet Sapphire turned on him, and like well, she didn't really turn on him, but she just sold out. And, like, the Million Dollar Man just, like, grabbed her up and was like, I gave Sweet Sapphire all this money. And, like Dusty's, like, you could, like, he had his eyes, like, his heart was broken. Yeah. And I was like, I believe this dude, like his heart was broken. Yeah. And he's, like, sold it so well. And then, I mean,
he was just a great performer.
Yeah.
And you're seeing that now with the new crop of talent in NXT that's now coming up to the main roster because they all got to work with him.
Those guys were so devastated. Like, he worked with those guys every day, and a lot of people didn't realize that like, they were all tight with Dusty.
Yeah,
and,
they were his kids. Yeah.
And if you watched... did you watch the Paige and Stone Cold thing?
Yeah. Yes.
And she talked about Dusty a lot.
She couldn't stop touching her hair.
Yeah. But she hadn't. She was freaking out because she had just gotten out of Raw and she hadn't taken a shower or anything.
And it was driving her nuts.
It was driving her crazy. Yeah.
So news just coming out from the workout that we saw with Stephen Amell today with him on the top rope. Stephen Amell injured while lifting weights.
But for real?
For real?
The actual what actually happened was, and this is a statement from Amell himself on Facebook saying, I was super fired up this morning. I was training doing a snatch pull curl, and I snatched so hard I literally cracked myself in the jaw.
Oh,
wow.
I saw that.
When he says cracked himself in the jaw, was it, is he,
like his molars bit into his tongue?
Oh.
So all he's doing is like icing his jaw down and he'll be fine.
Right.
So he's doing better than Geno Smith.
Did you see him?
He is definitely doing better than the last woman that Ronda Rousey beat down.
Oh no. Did you see when he was, he had a video on Facebook. Like, I just say that, like, Stephen Amell, like, this isn't really a wrestling thing, but like, he has the best Facebook. Like, he really does. He owns it, it's like
best Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, but he's just, like, his social presence is amazing. So it's, like, pictures of him. He's super handsome. Sometimes he doesn't have his shirt on, and he's super jacked. Pictures of him working out. Pictures of his adorable baby. Yeah. Behind-the-scenes stuff from, like, Arrow. You know, sometimes he'll throw in pictures of his super hot wife. And, like...
There's just pictures of him talking to a camera, being cool with the fans.
Yeah, and, like, it's perfect. Like, you couldn't... Like, if you were going to, like, be, like, who's, like, the perfect, like, dude for fans to, like, really love... This is what you put together. It doesn't even seem like he did it on purpose.
And actually, I love the one video that he did on Facebook where he's talking about the wrestlers like coming after him, and then his daughter comes up to him with the toy phone. And he's like, "Excuse me for a second." He answers the toy phone, and starts talking, like, and then a meme came out. It's like, "No matter what you're doing, you always answer the phone.
If a kid hands you a phone, you answer
pick up the phone."
Yeah,
that was just That was just so great seeing Stephen Amell.
All right, so let's go a little bit further into, since we usually do Wrestling Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a chance to watch ROH this week?
I didn't get a chance to watch ROH, but I did watch TNA.
Oh, and there was no Lucha Underground.
No Lucha Underground.
Good.
Yeah.
So let's talk about TNA.
All right, TNA. So this was the very first...
And I will try not to laugh.
So this was the very first week of the invasion angle with Global Force Wrestling invading Impact Wrestling. And yeah,
Michael is now asleep.
Yeah, and exactly that. Like, the biggest thing that came out of this was PJ Black is the new King of the Mountain champion.
A.K.A. Justin Gabriel.
Justin Gabriel. Yeah, it's the new King of the Mountain champion. But they're still trying to build this angle where Eric Young is trying to beat up on Jeff Jarrett. And they're trying to build this angle where Bobby Roode is now fed up with everything. So he's just rolled out for, I don't know where he's doing.
Well, he just left TNA.
Yeah, like, well, he did, yeah. Like, he's just like, he beat up Rockstar Spud and was like, I'm making a statement, I'm out.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
Because when I think making a statement, I think beating up Rockstar Spud.
Right. And then you saw a bunch of...
And then it's like... What? Like,
and then the rest of the episode was Global Force getting beat by TNA.
Okay.
That was it.
Good.
I saw a part of, like, I was at a friend, I haven't watched TNA in like 10 years, but I actually saw a part of that episode.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't know, man. Jeff Jarrett looks so old.
He is old.
You know something really funny? My sister was watching Buying Alaska on Destination America this week. They show, like, no. Yeah, I know. We can laugh about my sister watching Buying Alaska. But, Destination America shows absolutely no commercials for their shows.
Yeah.
So you never know when TNA or ROH is actually airing
well,
on their.
That would explain the different ratings this week.
Yeah. Because, like, just watching their channel in general, they're not promoting anything. They're not.
So
and that's a kick in the pants to TNA and ROH because it's like, well, we're coming to you and.
Only time I've seen TNA promoted on Destination America.
Right before they debuted.
Watch the show at 9 o'clock. Right. Wait, it is 9 o'clock. You're already watching it. Good job.
You already watched.
So, for those of you who are longtime fans of ours or listeners or whatever you want to call yourselves, you know that I'm a bit of a stickler for the ratings when it comes to TNA and ROH.
Yes.
Oh no.
Because we had a young gentleman in the crowd at Awesome Con. Who was maintaining that ROH was going to become the biggest TV show, wrestling-wise, on TV, because it didn't deal with any of that storyline nonsense.
What?
That's a bunch of storylines.
Yeah. So this week, Ring of Honor drew 148,000 viewers in its single showing, which is down 3,000 from last week. Not quite the all-time low, but still... Pretty darn low.
That airing's at 11 p.m.
And that's at that's at 10 p.m. Oh, 10 no, that's 11.
It's 11.
Yep. Because
TNA's 2 hours.
Right, from
9 to 11. TNA Impact at 9 p.m. drew 270,000 viewers, down from 327,000 the week before.
That's a that's a large percentage.
Yep. And the Midnight Replay drew 60,000. Up from the 42,000 the week before. So Impact actually drew more in their repeat for it, but they got a grand total of 330,000. Now, I've been saying this for a while now, and it started to show because they took away ROH's first airing. Right, they're only airing once now on Wednesday nights. When do Destination America cut bait? Because they've already stated that they're not going to follow through with TNA.
Are they getting rid of TNA?
Next month.
So, okay, so...
But and Ring of Honor can't even bring in half the viewers that TNA can.
That's weird. So, they're like... They're a pretty new channel, or they're just rebranded, right?
They're a rebranded channel.
But they don't have, like... Nobody watches anything on that channel. So, like, they need programming... They need programming, and they. It's not like anybody's watching them anyway. You know, it's not like they have something that's getting a lot more eyeballs than TNA.
Is Buying Alaska. That's their top.
I don't even know what it is.
pretty much, it, from what I just found,
is it buying houses in Alaska or something?
Yeah, apparently a realtor takes them to three different houses and they pick which house they want to buy in Alaska.
Oh yeah, dude, those things are huge right now.
Barbecue Pitmasters, which is just as nobody knows.
Oh dude, that looks good though, right? Yeah. I saw a commercial for that. I don't see? I don't have cable anymore, so I just kind of catch things I want to catch.
Right. See, but
man.
Maybe it's because of the production value. Because TNA, I don't know what their production value is, but ROH is shoestring. I mean, completely. If you look at it.
Theirs is like ECW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It reminds me of your old, of ECW. So.
It's not even as good as like Lucha Underground.
Oh, no, not even close.
Yeah, but Lucha Underground also has Robert Rodriguez backing.
Which I don't understand that they don't have a secure network anymore.
They do have a secure network. El Rey will show them.
Okay.
But El Rey will not pony up the money they're asking for season two.
Because apparently, like with Lucha Underground, they write out everything like they would a TV show.
Right. They film it like all at once, right?
Yeah.
Like, or in a few days or something?
They don't film it.
No. No, okay. How many episodes do they film at a time?
One or two.
Yeah, they do like two, but everything is still written out so far in advance. So like, even though they'll be filming these two episodes,
like the overarching,
six episodes later is already written.
The overarching plot is written out at the beginning of the season. Because it's much more closer to like dramatic television than it is actually wrestling. Or gymnastics, however you want to look at it.
I watched like the first four episodes, but I think I'm just going to skip to like the more recent ones because there's a lot. They got a lot of them.
I watched the first.
No. Listen to last week's episode. Yeah. Ben will gladly explain what happened.
I watched the first four episodes and then skipped to the finale, and I was like, nope.
Oh man,
I disagree.
There's a lot of stuff that if you cared about would make it a little more entertaining.
Palatable.
It's not much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because some of the things that you didn't like, I like, well, they did introduce this, but it wasn't enough to be like, oh, yeah, you should just go ahead and watch. No, you're on point.
I am, as the kids say, on fleek.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought it was pretty cool, but I don't know. Like, WWE's, like, just, like, even when they're bad, like, it looks better.
Yeah.
And they've got the best guys. Yeah. You know, still have NXT.
When you are doing your utmost to convince me that Alberto El Patron, as he is called now, is the most talented wrestler in the world, I will tell you you're a liar.
Yeah.
Every time you say it.
I mean, Johnny.
Especially when Johnny Morrison makes him look like a scrub on TV.
Yeah. It was crazy. Plus, Lucha Underground's pool of wrestlers is so small that you actually have so many of the same wrestlers wrestling each other. A lot of times.
Yeah.
So you're seeing these matches over and over and over and over and over and over again. So, I mean, they have great spots, but if you've seen them once, you've seen it a thousand times.
It's just like all storylines, right? Like, you don't see, like, you know, occasionally like, oh, well, these are just two people wrestling for, like, you know, we booked this match and there's two guys, you know.
There's a reason. It's a whole lore and everything.
I liked how WCW used to do that. Like, they'd just be like, hey, like, you know, like, these two guys just have a match tonight. So they're wrestling.
Right.
You know, and there would be no storyline. Then they could incorporate that into a storyline. Or maybe, you know, one guy was feuding with somebody else. They were feuding with Disco Inferno.
Right.
And so Disco Inferno would come out and interfere in the match. And, you know, but the actual premise of them having a match was just because, like, you know, we have matches on this show.
But
Lucha Underground doesn't do that at all. No. It's, like, all storyline straight through.
I remember I was watching, like, a Cavs game. And it was intermission. I was like, oh, let me just flip around. And I finally found the El Rey
Apparently
browsing channels while during the cast.
It's easier to find on the internet.
I finally found it.
It really is.
And I remember watching. They're doing a segment, and I was just like, okay. I found the channel. I went back to the Cavs because they went back to the game, and those commercial breaks. Like, I go back to El Rey. It's like, okay, so where's the wrestling? Come back during the next commercial break. Okay, where's the wrestling? There was just no wrestling at all. It was just backstage stuff and announcers.
Carefully shot videos with the bad acting. Well, they're actually acting. It's not promos, it's acting.
Exactly.
And there's this moment in the finale where this woman is all like, I am the mistress of death, and holds up this stone. And I'm like, I could go get a rock from outside. Can I do that? Can I be the mistress of death?
They got like some supernatural stuff going on. I don't know. I dug that.
I am Poseidon.
Yeah. I kind of dug that. Like, this dude's, like, supposed to, like, maybe be undead or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, let's move on to actual good stuff on a Wednesday night. which is NXT.
NXT.
Yay.
And yep. Sorry, but I have not been able to watch it yet.
All right, well, you're going to get some stuff spoiled here.
I already know what happened.
Well, then stop complaining.
Ben, I just got your friend request.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So we have Ty Dillinger in a match with Solomon Crowe.
And this is the debut of the Perfect 10 gimmick.
Yes.
Yes.
Which he had been doing at house shows for like a year and a half or something. Stupid, yeah.
It's kind of like it's an old Diamond Dallas Page gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He used to keep asking Kimberly to hold up the 10 sign.
Yep.
Which is when he started feuding with Johnny B. Badd.
Oh, God. So... My only thought about Johnny B. Badd is from Mick Foley's book when he found out that he was making less money and he took that to Vince's office. Like, Mick isn't like the most like aggressive dude, but he was just like, come on, you can't pay me less than Mark Marrow.
Mark Marrow, really?
But
that's flat out offensive.
Right. Yeah.
So with Ty Dillinger, I had been seeing the Perfect 10 gimmick on Twitter from house shows and stuff like that for a long time. And I thought it would be pretty cool. Everybody's like retweeting it and stuff, but I didn't think it came over that well at the show.
No, it didn't.
But apparently it's been going over well at live shows.
So yeah, so
it's probably just how it's coming. It's probably just how it came out on television.
Or maybe he tweaked it at the last minute and it wasn't the same. But I feel like there's something there if he's just got to work on it. Which luckily that's what NXT is for.
Yep.
So, but he's a good wrestler. He's got really good look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who need work, Baron Corbin.
he's gonna get worked all right.
Oh my god, dude!
Squashed a dude, and then Samoa Joe came out. And they had a brief fight, and then Samoa Joe put him in a sleep hold.
He put him to sleep.
So,
and then they announced that they're going to be taking each other on at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn.
NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, indeed.
So,
and he is going to get worked.
Yeah. He's going to get worked. So, from watching the taping, so I was at the NXT tapings, and Baron was, he was the only person who was on all four episodes. Okay. And he would come out and have a 30-second match every episode. And like, the first one, people were like, whatever. The second one, it started to boo a little bit. The third one, the boos were... And you can go back and watch the last 4 weeks of episodes. So the fourth one... Or the third one, it was just boos straight through. And the fourth one, the boos were almost overwhelming. Like, we don't want to see this.
Right.
And then when Samoa Joe came out... But they were primed at that point. Yeah. So when Samoa Joe came out, it was an explosion, like, oh, great. And then... Yeah, and then I think about like 30 seconds later, everybody like stopped popping and realized like, oh, we gotta watch Samoa Joe wrestle this guy. That sucks. He could be wrestling somebody good.
But well, let's ask it: could wrestling Samoa Joe help teach Baron Corbin?
No.
Because he's
implanting a matrix stick into Baron Corbin's brain and downloading the moveset of every wrestler ever couldn't teach Baron Corbin.
Well, you know, like, the smartest thing that, like, they ever did was be like, hey, Baron Corbin, like, you're not a very good wrestler, and you need to get lots of experience, so we're going to put you in only 20-second squash matches for 2 years. Like, he's never had a chance to wrestle anybody.
I think, the only chance he's really had to wrestle somebody...
Was Rhino.
Rhino?
Bull.
And now Rhino's his tag team partner.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Because his biggest match, honestly, to me, besides Rhino, is Tyler Breeze.
When did he face Tyler Breeze?
He faced Tyler Breeze in that number one contenders tournament.
How long ago was that?
Bull Dempsey came out and then interfered. He came out, which led to the Bull Dempsey-Baron Corbin match at...
I don't remember that. I must have seen that match.
Because when I'm talking good matches, I'm talking Bull Dempsey,
Baron Corbin.
Oh, no, wait, I'm lying.
Yeah.
Although I kind of like the Bull Fit segments.
I do like that.
I'm digging them.
The first week was hilarious, and then the second week you actually see him get serious after doing the joking around the first week.
Because I was wondering where they're going to go with him eating all of the candy and stuff. I was like, but to see him now doing the transition over, I was like, okay.
And that's been going on for long enough that he's been a good 6 weeks. He's probably been working his ass off for 6 weeks.
So yeah, I'd definitely love to see where that goes.
Yeah.
So then we had Finn Balor.
Yep.
Beating Marcus Louis.
How was that match? Because, like I said, I haven't seen it yet.
It was your typical Finn Balor match.
It was, he's going to anybody... all the matches I've ever seen him in, he always gives the guy, his opponent, a rub. And he always lets his opponent have a shot, and
he made Louis look like $1 million.
Yeah, well, he does that. Everybody he faces.
Well,
yeah.
Well, the reason I asked is because, you know, obviously Marcus Louis is doing this gimmick now where he's really deranged.
Where he's Kane.
He lost his hair.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I really want to see more with him, and I want to see him actually put him in a storyline that actually can help him evolve more. Because what he's got, knowing how it happened to him and all that other stuff. It'd be really nice to see it actually go somewhere and just kind of be an enhancement.
He's been doing it on house shows for a long time. I saw him at a house show where he just started doing that gimmick, and then at Access at WrestleMania, they just have NXT like wrestling the whole time, and they just keep doing matches over, and like, you know, I'm
that's awesome.
You know, somebody like Marcus Louis, he probably wrestled 4 or 5 times a day, and you know, so I saw him there. I think he just fought like Enzo or something like that. You know, just random. They're just throwing random pairings together. Right.
Yeah. So we've got a.
But again, I love to see that character evolve.
It seems like there's something there. Yeah.
Because originally they're supposed to do something with him with Tyler Breeze.
Oh. Yeah,
because originally they showed as soon as he lost the hair and the eyebrows, he was actually shown for a little while, and then Tyler Breeze went away for a bit. When Tyler Breeze would make his entrances, you would see like his head popping up behind.
Yeah. Oh yeah!
And it's like, oh, this could really lead to something cool, and then it just led to nowhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that would be really cool to see that because of Tyler Breeze and how his character is, and where if you evolve Marcus Lee the right way and you take the two together, that would be.
But that they would risk turning Tyler Breeze face.
Yeah, he's a
which
face.
They can't. He's over. He's not a face.
Well, is anybody else like love Tyler Breeze as much as I do? Like.
We all love Tyler Breeze.
He's my favorite NXT wrestler. Yeah. Oh my god, he might be my favorite wrestler right now of anybody.
Period.
Yeah,
I love Tyler.
Well, we're gonna get back to Tyler Breeze in a minute when we got to talk about NXT Takeover. Then that led us to Bayley and Becky Lynch becoming for the number one contendership to the NXT Women's Title. You saw this match live. You said it was a good match.
Thought it was pretty good. Yeah, it wasn't as good as the Charlotte match. Obviously, it wasn't as good as the Charlotte match, which we had just seen.
Right,
but it didn't translate to TV very well.
No.
A lot of like botched spots and sloppy.
Kind of like how it was for that June 29th Raw when Mance and I were there, where the match looked great with Paige and Alicia, but on television it didn't come out that same.
Isn't it?
It translates differently now because this was all taped before.
Yeah.
Right? And she's wrestled, 20 minute matches?
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right. You can't blame Bayley for that.
No, you can't.
To this point, she's wrestled like an hour or more that night. Right.
Yeah.
And every time she's having to go backstage and get cold again and then come out. Right. So it got a little bit sloppy. I'm not going to lie.
And it did look a little bit sloppy out there. I wasn't really happy with it.
And. I don't know. That was probably a reason that Becky was on offense for most of it.
Yeah.
We talked about this on that. I still have an issue with some of the stuff Becky Lynch wears.
Yeah.
She looks like she's wearing bloomers. And
I like the bloomers.
I love Becky Lynch.
I
love watching her wrestle. I just think the stuff that she's wearing isn't.
I like the bloomers. It's a change of pace. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ben and I are the only two.
You know, I didn't like when she changed.
The hair.
To like
I colorblind. I can't tell. She changed out of the checker pattern outfit. I didn't like that. I didn't like when she changed her makeup and looked more girly. I didn't like that at all.
The biggest thing I don't like is when she went from being a natural redhead to boom
the orange hair.
I don't like her entrance music.
I really like her entrance music.
I still think she should be using Edge's entrance music because she's literally doing Edge's entrance. She is literally doing Edge's entrance.
I don't think you saw it, but we shared it. Apparently, somebody took Becky Lynch's entrance from the last takeover and put Edge's music to it.
Oh, nice.
And it works perfectly.
And it was to the T, man. To the T.
Whenever I hear Seth Rollins' music, like, he's got an intro, and then I'm like, I'm expected to be Edge every time. Still, I expect it to be Edge because it's just like the same, like, you know, opening part.
It's very Edge. But yeah, let's talk about this Bayley push for a while. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I'm glad that Bayley is getting pushed. She's the logical person to take the belt off of Sasha in the way it stands right now. It's just a symptom of being pre-recorded, I suppose, and yet Raw being booked live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we've had her go through Becky Lynch and Charlotte, who have literally been tearing the Divas division apart on the main roster.
She's going to be taking on Sasha Banks, who's also been turning.
Well, she's got to beat Sasha.
She's got to beat Sasha.
Well, no, that's the thing. She's got to beat Sasha, but then it comes down to your point.
Yeah.
It's like, she's beating all these people who are now on the main roster.
So we're getting to that point now where we're having to start suspending our disbelief
when it
comes to NXT.
Well, it's just like, you know, Sami Zayn had to beat Neville, who went to the main roster, and then you know, Finn Balor has to beat Kevin Owens, who just beat John Cena, right? That's just the way NXT works. The belt's got to be on somebody. They can't take it and just like, well, I'm going to hold it forever. It's not a video game.
Have you guys seen the spoilers from last night's taping?
No.
Not haven't.
I'll be quiet then.
I'll be looking at that probably on Monday.
How many episodes could they have taped?
Three.
Oh, they taped. That's right, because the fourth one they're taping in New York and Brooklyn.
They actually taped two post.
Yeah, they had to tape two. Yeah.
Yeah, they taped two post.
Yeah.
Takeover.
That was like, I thought it was weird that they didn't just like somehow stitch together another episode from the previous set of tapings.
Well, the thing is that what it is that so that they could gotta do the one episode for the cover next week going in the takeover. Yep. They're going to tape an episode at the after the takeover event.
Right.
Which will probably be the very that week's episode.
Yep.
And then the next two will follow that episode.
So are Kevin and Finn not in those other two episodes pretty much?
They are very much in them.
Oh, okay.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yet again.
And Kevin, I will say this, the NXT title does appear.
Okay. Okay.
Very interesting. Very interesting. We got an interesting 4 weeks to look up.
Right.
It's not going to be that interesting. I don't know. It's not once the takeover's over, it's just kind of like, okay, whatever.
Right.
and now we come to something that I really want to talk about this week. You and I were talking about this last night, Mansa.
Uh-huh.
I'm very, 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 very much of the opinion that TakeOver is going to be better than SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That won't be very difficult.
It's not very difficult, and not only that, but we've heard it before, where when they did their TakeOver before TLC.
Yeah.
Oh man!
The main roster was pissed.
Yeah,
because how
we supposed to follow
they
that?
Literally.
Well, they don't get that kind of freedom on the main roster.
They don't.
So it makes them look bad, but we all went through like NXT. Like everybody on the roster at this point's pretty much been through NXT or Florida Championship Wrestling
at some point.
At some point, like they all there's none like. There aren't very many people left who went through like indies and were still around when the WCW was even around. So they all went through the same system. They're like, we could all have done that shit. Like, you just won't let us. And right. Like, that's got to be so frustrating. And it makes them look bad.
Could you imagine when Vince finally steps down or dies, one of the two, whichever comes first, and Triple H takes over? That's what it's coming down to, man. As bad as it sounds, that's what's going to come down to. And Triple H and Steph finally take over. Can you imagine? If they can't, if Triple H, with what he's doing with NXT, can you imagine that coming up to the main roster, that freedom?
I don't know.
No.
No, because...
At least for pay-per-views, because that's where you really got to deliver that.
I think what will happen is there will be a certain amount of freedom, more than there is now. But in the day and age of corporate sponsorship, you will never be truly free.
No.
Well, I'm not talking about the corporate back to the Attitude Era, but... What they can do in the ring, giving him more time in the ring, the rest build the stories. Yeah. That's what they need, because that's what they're getting in NXT. They're getting that time in the ring to build their stories, whereas you're not really getting.
And here's the interesting: it's very much been evident the last 2 weeks on the main roster. Looking at the Divas matches, even the Divas matches on the main roster are still that high impact main roster style. Whereas when you watch an NXT women's match, you're seeing arm bars and leg locks and chain wrestling.
Yeah.
So this Divas revolution that they're talking about, that is admittedly revolutionizing, Is that the word?
Yeah.
That's a word.
Revolutionizing.
Yeah, it's a word.
It is now.
It's always been.
It's still not what we've grown to love from NXT.
Honestly, that could be, I mean, yes, Triple H and Stephanie are behind the whole Divas Division angle that's going on TV. But still, at the end of the day, it's still Vince.
Yeah. Well,
he still has his finger on the pulse.
And that's what's probably hurting that.
Well, I feel like they're like, Divas Revolution. We're not going to give you any storylines. We're going to give you all 3-on-3 matches. Boom. That's great. That's exactly what I wanted, right? I wanted 3-on-3 matches with no real storyline.
Not just 3-on-3 matches, but it's 3-on-3 matches with 3 people on commentary.
Yeah. Well, they were good about that last week, and then they went back to it this week.
So they've got... It's just... I don't know why they didn't just, like... You know, they didn't just, like, have Lana come out with Charlotte and be like... And have Charlotte run through the division and just, like, F everybody up. And maybe Sasha comes out and they have, you know, a feud. Maybe they have 2 feuds. Oh my God! You know, maybe they've been putting two women's matches on a card on Raw.
Yeah.
Maybe not. You know, they got 3 hours to fill.
They want to have that triangle feud. That's the thing.
See,
those are always bad.
But this is the thing I was saying when it was first announced: is you don't make people care about something by telling them what's happening. By having Stephanie come out and go, I'm randomly assigning you Sasha Banks and I'm randomly assigning you Charlotte and Becky Lynch. You're like, where's the storytelling?
That's something.
Have it evolve gradually over, like have Becky Lynch join Paige, right? Mm-hmm. And then have Sasha show up to beat down Becky Lynch because Becky got, and like both her and Paige have become really close to Sasha. And then have Charlotte show up and go, no.
Yeah.
See, but another thing is like we keep always talking about a 4th faction. Why can't we have something like that where it's like all of a sudden? Because we talk about this, Natty shows up.
Yeah,
she doesn't. Yeah, no. But the thing, she doesn't show up with anybody. She just shows up. Like say at
SummerSlam. On the run.
Yeah, she just shows at SummerSlam during this 6-team elimination match. She just shows up on stage.
And just
watches.
Walks down, walks around the ring, walks off.
No, just stay up on the ramp. Just watch. And then as the match is over, she just kind of does this look and just walks backstage.
Yep.
And then it lives this illusion. It's like, well, she's like, okay, could she join the winning team? What could she be thinking?
Yeah.
And then just kind of build off that. And then that's where we could essentially get that 4th faction.
Yep.
She's like, you know what? I don't want to be on any team. I want to create my own faction. Because I've been doing my own homework on this thing. You're like, because
she needs
that
someone to do now that...
Tyson's
hurt.
Honestly,
and why they're not having her come down with Cesaro?
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Right?
I don't know. His manager is that awesome suit he was wearing.
To the point, he did look smart.
That suit looked good, man.
And not only that, but I love the fact that the kid armband is not a one-shot.
Oh, yeah.
It is a long
time. It's
an ongoing thing.
And I love that. And we were actually at the Raw where he debuted it.
Yep.
Yeah,
we were.
The one in D.C.
Nice.
That was awesome.
Tyson Kidd and Cesaro remind me of Brian Pillman and Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Like they're telling the story about when they got to form the Hollywood Bonds. They're like, we don't want to be a tag team.
Yeah.
And like when they're splitting them up, they're like, we don't want to split up. We want to stay a tag team.
Yeah.
Dixon's mind just got blown when you said that. By the way.
Steve tells that story... Like all the time.
It's like his only Brian Pillman story because he's not allowed to talk about the gun. Pillman 9mm.
And they don't have any stories of them on the road that he can even repeat.
Right,
even on his like NSFW show.
You're like, No,
I can't talk about it. I won't do this to his wife.
But yeah, I mean the only other thing really is I want to chat a bit about your thoughts on Jushin Thunder Liger coming in, first of all.
How old is he?
100? I have a theory.
It's not him?
Oh, that it could be bunnies. No.
Yeah.
I have a theory that he's going to take the mask off and it might be Hideo Itami under there.
What? That would be why Tyler Breeze is facing him, because he's the only one who's allowed to face Hideo Itami.
Keep in mind, they are billing Hideo Itami
as being there. Right. Yeah.
Like, they are billing him.
Or my other two theories, which are Hideo Itami comes out during the match, and everyone thinks he's gonna go after Tyler Breeze, but he costs Jushin Thunder Liger the match.
Yeah, which I think may
to set that match up.
I think that will be it.
Do you think he's 50? You think he would be the oldest person on NXT ever?
No, because William Regal's on NXT.
Right. William Regal might not even be 50 yet, man. I don't know.
Regal's 50. Yeah,
I don't know.
I think he's like 47 or something.
He's an old soul. Let's put.
He's not 50.
We talked about this last week, but can we talk about how I love the fact that the Vaughn villains are getting their rematch not on the fact that they got screwed over, but on the fact that Alexa Bliss denied Chivalry.
Yes.
That was just so awesome. Yes. So you were denied Chivalry. Chivalry always wins. and as always, we have to say Aiden English, Simon Gotch.
Thank
we love
you,
very you guys.
Much.
Thank you for the thank retweets. You thank you for the
nice dude.
Favorites.
Simon Gotch on Twitter is just he's cool. A machine, dude. I have to sometimes I have to be temporarily block him because he's my whole feed.
I have that with Adam Rose.
Oh god, I don't know if I follow him.
We want Kruger stuff.
Oh my god!
And now he's in a tag team with Brad Maddox.
But Simon Gotchel.
Apparently, I read it's just a holdover.
Because okay.
Apparently they do want to bring back Leo Kruger. Just are figuring out how they're going to bring him back.
Put him in the Wyatt family.
Yeah, put him in the Wyatt family.
That's the thing. But how do they want to do it? How do they want to put him in the Wyatt family as Leo Kruger? That's the thing.
You just put him in the Wyatt family
with Leo Kruger.
Yeah.
I'd like a story as to maybe Wyatt backstage is getting in there.
If they were going to do that, they would have done it when they captured Kane. Mm-hmm.
He would have talked about his newest convert or whatever.
But yeah, beef mode.
The vaudevillains would like their pose back.
Yes.
The vaudevillains would like to have a conversation.
I was wearing my vaudevillain shirt all over WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah,
I awkwardly met Aiden English wearing this shirt. It's not that wasn't a really popular WrestleMania shirt.
Did you go to an Aiden English signing or was he just
so here's my story. We got snuck into the WWE's hotel.
Really?
Yeah, so I knew somebody who was staying at the hotel and we used his pass to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, okay, we're in the hotel. Why don't we? So we went down. They have a restaurant in the middle of the lobby. So we just sat at the restaurant and ordered lunch. And we're like, we're just getting people. It's just amazing people watching, just from right here in the middle of this this hotel. So I'm there. Everybody's lining up to go to WrestleMania and get on the buses, and they're all in their suits and stuff. And I see Aiden English. He's just kind of milling around by himself. And so I walk up and I'm like, dude, can I get a selfie with you? He's like, yeah, sure. Nice shirt. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. But it's he's not the most famous dude ever. He's who's this huge nerd wearing my shirt? All right.
But honestly, though,
I think my favorite picture that you've ever gotten with a wrestler was your first picture with Blue Pants. Where she's going into the NXT tapings.
It was afterwards. She had the TARDIS dress on?
And she had the Dalek
dress. Oh, the Dalek dress, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just that's the stuff she wears in everyday life.
Yeah.
What was it? The greatest tweet we actually got is from Simon Gotch. I tweeted him a couple weeks ago, and this was when they announced that that Schwarzenegger was going to be in WWE 2K16 as the Terminator.
Yeah.
And I was like... So I tweeted out to Simon Gotch going, so what would you do if you had a match with Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger? And the response that we got from him was just
those
hilarious.
Two have that gimmick down.
Yeah.
They're so manly.
On house shows, they don't do it on TV. On house shows, they've got this move that they'll do where I guess somebody's on the ground, they wrap their arm around one of the vaudevillains' legs.
Yeah.
And then they'll start doing Hindu squats on the dude's arm, and they'll do 30, 40 Hindu squats and count them out, and it's just it goes on forever, and it's just hilarious. It's so funny, dude.
Now I gotta throw this out there because we all love NXT.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
If the three of us are able to get down to Orlando and it's the right time for an NXT taping, can you get us there?
We just have to get the tickets,
yeah.
Because I think that's something that we need to do.
The four of us
doing an NXT tape.
You just have to know when you just have to be able to do it when the tickets go on sale. So
yeah.
The best way to get tickets is after a taping, go out and stand in line for the next taping's tickets.
Okay.
And sometimes they'll go on sale online. Oh crap! So it was just last night, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're probably sold out. Shoot, I wanted to go to that. Oh, so I don't know
how to get the next.
Yeah. Thing. So man. So I'm probably missed that
it's
one.
It's not like you were guaranteed to get into the taping anyway.
Yeah.
You
I'm not going to talk about
it.
No. I don't want to tell. It just makes me mad. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, that's why I want you to tell it. Like, you're dropping names all night. I want to feel good about myself.
No, it just
tell the awesome concert.
It just makes me sad. No, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
So I got denied.
Is that you got denied.
You mean just like I got denied meeting Seth and Natalia, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You didn't meet him at all?
Nope.
Oh, dude, you should have texted me, dude. I would have brought you back. In the backstage.
I was so busy.
Yeah, but hey, but I did get
Get me their autographs.
And no, I did get Natty the personalized one.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I did make sure I get that.
We were humped in the kids area. Oh. So.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, you just bring Seth and Natty over to the kids area. Yeah. Just let them play in the play area.
Yeah, dude. Seth's great with kids, dude. He met my daughter.
Let Seth go in the ball pit. It'll be fine. Then he might actually be able to curb stomp someone in there.
Yeah.
Right.
He did at on there, did you watch the Q&A video?
No.
So he actually said that, you know, that was when people weren't sure, but somebody asked him, he's like, oh, so is the pedigree your finisher now?
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah. Yep. Yeah, he was like,
his response was more like, so is the pedigree your full move? Yep. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
Yeah, eye roll. Yeah.
To the T. That was his response.
Oh, man.
No, I haven't had a chance to catch the Q&A video yet.
It's cool, man. It's only like 30 minutes. It was a good time. It was a good time.
It was a good panel.
So yeah, I mean, for me personally, it's been great getting to know the DC wrestling community through Awesome Con.
Because
we've had three Awesome Cons now.
Yeah.
We've had three awesome wrestling panels.
Yep.
Booted off one.
I know, right?
Unfortunately...
That's all good enough.
Ben actually showed up to this one.
Yeah. I made it.
Because in the past you've had some issues that you've been
dealing with. Yeah, I got to make that one. The I don't remember the first one what happened. The second one, I was filling out a police report. Somebody had stolen $4,000 from us at the con, like cash.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I had to fill out a police report.
Because I remember getting the text.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
It was bad.
That was the first time when I actually met you.
Yep.
And you're on the microphone and you're just like, well, I just got a text from Ben saying he's filling out a police report.
Because Joe was like 10 minutes late.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I had to start the panel on my own. Which wasn't that much.
Yeah.
And then you brought Dan Noakes.
I brought Noakes up.
Yeah.
And Mike and Joe eventually rolled in.
Yeah, because Mike was late because he was doing the costume contest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but it's been really good because DC is a wrestling town.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it's been so much fun playing the heel on those panels.
Yeah.
Because like I say some outlandish stuff on those panels.
Yeah.
And just getting the reactions I get is great. Like,
those guys get serious in there, dude.
Dude.
I remember the one guy,
Hulkamania.
He was saying that like, well, Becky Lynch is a proven dude. Have you seen anything she did?
She's been wrestling for 10 years, dude. Right.
Yeah, Paige has been wrestling for 10 years.
Yeah, she's been wrestling for more. She's been wrestling for like. No, it's 10 years.
Yeah,
10 years.
Yeah, she's been wrestling 10 years.
That moment when you meet Paige, and I'm like, I remember having a crush on your mother.
but that's the crazy thing. It's like, dude, where have you been? Like when they brought Becky Lynch in, I actually went online to look up her stuff because of the trend of them bringing in people from the indies.
Well, she had taken off a few years of wrestling. Yeah. She didn't wrestle. She managed.
Yeah, she was a stunt woman, an actress,
a waitress.
A waitress, right. Yeah.
But... So, yeah, dude, I'm psyched that like through the con we've been able to like do more wrestling stuff and like I let like the wrestling stuff like slip in there and you know I've gone to some cons where they'll have wrestlers there and it's like really washed up dudes and like but like I love these guys like you know like I'm psyched about meeting them but it doesn't look good it doesn't look you know and it's not the way I want like my show to look but I'm you know I was glad to be able to bring in some really cool relevant people and really like you know kind of get the real I figure it you know, if it's like the more nerdier aspect of,
so
of wrestling.
I remember like talking to you on Facebook after last year's Awesome Con, and you're like, which diva should I get? And you give me this list, and I'm like, how do you make me choose from this list?
Here, the list.
And I was like, Natty's on your favorite show.
Yeah.
Just Total Divas. Ben's favorite show is Total Divas.
Oh, yeah, dude. We love Total Divas.
How did that happen?
And then he gets me the goal to ask me if Natty, should I bring like that? And then doesn't let me meet her. You're never going to live that down.
Sorry, man. I didn't realize. I thought you had met that. I didn't know until just now, man. I would have hooked. I would have made it work.
I told you that I got the autographs for him.
No. I don't know. I was busy.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Really, yeah. 5 million.
Whatever, dude.
Well, I know. Do you guys know? Do you guys know Howie Noel? He's an artist.
Yeah.
But so he has a web comic called Terra Normal. Yeah. He sets up at the con.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But he like yeah, dude. I totally like he wanted to give he had done like a portrait of Seth Rollins. He wanted to give it to him. So I was like, dude. I texted him and I was like, dude, like meet me like here. And then I just took him back and he gave it to Seth Rollins. Like, I can make that. I mean, you know, if it's the right time, I can make that kind of thing happen.
You just need to make sure that the NBM is your go-to source for wrestling entertainment.
Yeah. Okay.
Next year.
Yeah. So when you have them over, you get NBM there.
Yeah.
But so talk to us about Total Divas, Ben.
Oh, dude, it's great. Like it's like the best show. It's like a fake reality show. Starring like people whose real job is fake reality, so they're really good at it.
Yeah,
and then you get like John Cena will just drop wisdom all the time. Like
he's like the Yoda of that.
He's
show.
The Yoda of the show. Like there's like chaos. Like the whole world's falling apart. Everything's like going crazy. Like, and then John Cena will come in and be like, oh, why don't we just do this and this and this? And they're like, oh, cool, problem solved. Yeah, great.
Do this and this?
Great.
Because we just need John Cena to do it.
Yeah, you just need John Cena to come in at the end of the episode and fix everything. It's great.
Then that's actually be interesting because obviously they're filming now for the next season.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see what they show of Cena with the busted nose.
According to Nikki, he's 100% already.
Wow.
Well, nose isn't that. I mean, you can't. Once you can breathe through it, you're good.
Well, wasn't he on Tough Enough?
Yeah,
he was on Tough Enough Tuesday. He accepted the challenge from Seth Rollins.
What I'm saying is, we've seen him with the nose broken. Yeah.
What did he look like? I didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
And you guys watch Tough Enough? It's not that good.
Honestly, I
started watching. I've seen a few episodes.
And then Patrick Clark got eliminated, and then
I've seen a few episodes. It's just kind of. I kind of like watching their challenges, but it's not really that good of a show.
See, the thing I don't like. I love watching the challenges. I just don't like the live portion of the show.
Yeah.
It's weird how they do it.
It really is.
Speak up, Michael.
Oh, hi. Speaking up now.
Because you're barely getting picked up on the microphone.
Okay. Well, but yeah, it's the whole live feature to it. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
I loved how Stone Cold was when he did Tough Enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had your challenge, and then you had the other challenge, and then he ran you for the ringer. Even when it came down to the bottom three, he ran you for the ringer when you're in that bottom three.
Yeah.
And you really don't get that with this one.
Yeah. It's reality show bullshit to me.
But for like Total Divas, though, dude, have you watched it, though?
Tough Enough?
No, Total Divas.
Total Divas.
Oh, I
come back to that.
I have not watched an episode. Now that it's all on the network, I'm going to give it a try.
It's on Hulu also, but it's so good, man. It's like. It's a really good show. It's just, you get to see a lot of cool backstage stuff. You get to kind of see what their lives are like. There's like crazy stuff with like Natty like losing her cat all the time. Like, dude, Tyson Kidd got over off of this show because he's just like, so when the first season of the show, he's on the shelf. So he's at home while Natty's going, you know, she's on the road all the time and she'll come home and he's just sitting on the couch. Every time she comes home, he's sitting on the couch playing with the cat. Every time. And it just, every single time. And it'll like, and they'll put on the like thing, be like, yeah,
well,
this
that explains why you have the cat balls on his gear.
Exactly. That's where that gimmick came from. It came from Total Divas. And they had like,
I even know that. I didn't watch the show.
And they had their wedding on the show. And like, they walk down the aisle and the cat is the ring bearer. And like, They had one cat. They had to put the cat down, and they got a new cat.
Walk into Mordor.
But it just It was so great. He's him. John Cena and Tyson are the two best people on Total Divas.
So
and,
I was reading reports on the dirt sheets that at the beginning of this season, Natalya hired a dominatrix.
Yeah, they did. So like, what, like last season they did? They went to like a sex counselor. And then this season, like, she hired it because she wanted to, because did you saw when she changed her costume?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She wanted to kind of know what it was all about, and then she ended up doing like a much tamer version of that.
Yeah.
But I think it was just research.
I liked what she said at the Q&A panel at AwesomeCon, though. Somebody asked her, why did you start dressing like that? And she was like, they actually asked both of them. It was like, and apparently, like, Seth Rollins was inspired by Catwoman, and then she joked that she was inspired by Seth Rollins. So I was like, oh, that's cool. But see, no, she even said it was a Catwoman thing.
Yeah.
And they all say it's a little bit of a joke, referencing that like mentally ill inmate that filed a lawsuit against her, claiming that she was a mentally abusive dominatrix.
I didn't remember that till just now. Yeah, yeah.
There's always those crazies.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that.
But yeah, we're gonna go ahead and wrap up here. I think we've been recording for like an hour and a half at this point. So Ben, go ahead and give us your plugs and your social medias and your websites and your facing spaces.
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter. I'm at AwesomestBen, and I work. I'm trying to find a better Twitter handle, but they're all taken. So it's tough. And then
that's what my Twitter handle is, Bob.
Yes. And
mine's just my last name and my jersey number.
So, you know, we're AwesomeCon is June 3rd to the 5th of next year.
Yep.
www.awesomecon.com.
Is it June yet?
Don't do that to me. I haven't even started.
I'm going to say this right now. I took my mom the one day for this past year. She had a blast. She's coming to all 3 days next.
Yeah, that's nice. That's what we're trying to do.
That's how great AwesomeCon is.
Yeah, yeah. We had a lot more people doing 3 days this year. So I think you know what it is people come for one day and then they're like, oh man, there's so you know they get their feet wet and then the next year they'll come for 3 days and that's what we've seen.
So this the first year we were in a very small room.
Yes.
Yeah.
The second year, we were in a bigger room, and we used the small room for the first year for tickets.
Yeah.
The third year, we used the entire convention center.
Just about. Yeah. Not all of it,
next
but close.
Next year, are you going to have to build a new wing on the convention center?
We're going to the roof. No. We're actually in a little bit smaller space next year, so we just because we had to move around, but it'll be really cool still.
I think that...
It'll just tighten things up a little bit.
Yeah, I think that'll benefit the show a little bit.
Yeah, but it's only like, I mean, it's smaller by like a minuscule amount. You wouldn't notice it.
Now, I do have to ask the question. Am I still going to have to walk a block and a half to get to panels?
Maybe. maybe not. I don't know. We're gonna try and work on that, but it's a big building, man. And when you got that many people, you got to kind of,
you got to bring the noise.
You need to get one of those like fake Segways with no handles. Have you seen those? They're like $900.
Yeah.
They look like little skateboards with the wheels turned the wrong way.
No, I think I'm just gonna get like a motorized wheelchair. And I just stay sitting down.
To be like in Disney World, like, you just see people in those things all the day. Yeah. They're called ECVs.
Well, I had the 1 year I got to go to San Diego. I actually got hurt on the plane.
Oh, no.
I hurt my back on the plane.
Oh!
The year I got to go to San Diego Comic Con, I was in a wheelchair.
Oh.
So I didn't have to wait in a single line.
Dude, that's actually pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah. And it wasn't me being cold and calculated. It just so happened that I had a back injury and I couldn't walk around the convention. So we hired a wheelchair from the convention center.
Nice.
And... it was the luckiest thing to ever happen to me, but it hurt like a mother.
That's like when my wife was pregnant, the doctor was like, oh, you shouldn't stand for a really long time. So we got her to write that. We took that to Disney World, and they gave us this pass that just let us skip all the lines.
Wow.
Yeah. We couldn't do any of the rides where like pregnant women weren't allowed to go on it.
Right.
But like, still. You know, like Pirates of the Caribbean, we could
show them the picture. No.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for joining us, Ben.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me, dude. This was awesome.
I would love to have you on again.
Yes.
And next time, maybe we can do a bit of a classic pay-per-view review.
Oh, dude, yeah.
I'm like, we can pick a pay view. We can all watch it.
Yeah, we've been all talking about doing that. So yeah, that'd be fun.
Have you ever watched? Have you listened to Stone Cold's podcast where he basically does commentary on his WrestleMania 13 match?
No. Oh, the one with Brett.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've heard.
Find it, yeah. And then what you do is you put it on the network, and then you press play, and you mute the network, and you listen to Stone Cold, and that, whoa, was good. That was good.
Yes.
So anyway,
so yeah. Give us a final thought.
Final thought.
A moment of zen.
A moment of zen. Oh, man. I love Tyler Breeze.
All right. Since I think I've literally heard this when I've watched NXT tapings, can we get an, oh, my God, it's Tyler?
Hey, everybody, it's Tyler.